I guess it's time to panic, because it's the news, according to me. Good Monday morning. It is 9:49 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am at the home studio where I will be today. I might be here tomorrow as well. We'll see how this has to go. I don't know. The rest of the week, probably nothing going to happen. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Don't count on any kind of show. I don't think there's going to be a show. I'm extremely stressed out right now. This is probably the most stressful time of the year for me. I have some what's called recurrent training I got to do, and let's just say it's stressful. It is the most stressful thing that I go through every year, and it doesn't get any better. And it's probably better now than it used to be. There was a time when I was in my last company where I do recurrent training, and it was. I actually didn't freak out too much about that because I was actually an instructor. And when you're an instructor, the training department, it's just not that bad. First of all, all the instructors know you. They don't like to fail anybody that they work side by side with. But there's the fact that you're teaching things helps you to you know what's coming. I mean, you're doing this stuff all the time. So when you go through the testing, it's you know what's coming because you're teaching this stuff. So you're steeped in it all the time, which is why I like one of the reasons I like teaching. So I learn more. But I'm not the world's greatest teacher, but I do love that part of it. I like passing on information and seeing light bulbs turn on and knowing that. Someone can do something because of how I contributed. It's just it's an amazing, fascinating thing. And I'm not in this particular company. I'm not in that position now. So it is a different, very different world, and it's a new company. There's new different things, or some of my stuff from my old company is still stuck in my head. And we have to go through this thing once a year. We have to go through this 5-day training program, where there's a lot of testing, a lot of learning that has to be a lot of evaluation, a lot of performance standards have to be met. And let's just say it is this company's, it's a little bit less stressful because of their culture. However, you get a pass. You got to make it through. And it's a very stressful thing. So you don't want to have to go back and redo things. That's because that becomes a real pain in the butt. Get through this 5 days, and then I've got vacation. I've got 1 day I have to work between somewhere. It's like in a couple days after this thing's over with, and it's like a 1 day thing. And then I'm off the rest of the time. So I might even try to drop that. I'm not sure. It's a lot of work. I mean, it's a fairly high paying day, so I hate to blow that. Just throw it off, but it's just 1 day. What could possibly go wrong? 1 day. Then I've got almost 2 weeks off, and it's that'll be really nice. I must say I have a lot to get done. I have a lot of stuff I can just kind of disengage, have everything behind me. Don't have to study, don't have to do anything. I don't have to just kind of cast off and go. So in the meantime, I have in my cup here. I have some chai with my Almond Joy creamer, my favorite, and the. I got a backup cup. I wasn't going to have a backup cup this morning. I was just going to say, hey, you know what? I'm just not going to have to do the backup cup because I didn't have any sweet tea. And I have this can of Arizona sweet tea, but it has lemon in it. I had it sitting there for a long time. It's been in my car for a long time. I kind of had it in my car as a backup beverage because, you need a backup beverage in your car. So I had this sweet tea in there. And I thought, well, I brought it in because my wife has been using my car because her car is in the shop. She broke it. She broke her car again. She's always breaking stuff. She broke it good enough I couldn't fix it. So I had to send it off to the guy there to look at it, our mechanic guy. And we got a really good mechanic guy. And he's saying, but the problem is he's so busy, he's he's kind of backed up. So it was almost 2 weeks before he'd get it in. So we kind of drove it a little bit beforehand and a little bit ahead of that. And about a week later, I just sent it over there just in case they could get to it sooner. They finally got to it, got everything done, and it turned out that it wasn't the little fix we thought it was hoping it was going to be. It wasn't it. So it turns out that the transmission has a major issue. So we're just going to put a new rebuilt transmission in there, or whatever we can find. It'll be a rebuilt or something that's salvageable transmission in there. Car has 240,000 miles on it, so it's not like we're going to put a brand new transmission in there for $12,000 because the car's not even worth that much. So we'll probably get another 100,000 miles out of the car. The car's in really good shape. I mean, it's a very comfortable car. Rides and drives very well. Just for that transmission issue. So that's what we're doing. We've got that going on. I think that hopefully I get it done here in the next week or two. We have a spare car. It's an older version of the same car. And we've been kind of trading that one back and forth. She will be driving my car for the next couple of weeks now. I'll have to drive I'll be gone for a week anyway. So I'm going to park the car at the local. In fact, I think I need to renew my parking pass because that's another issue that's going on. I've got to get that done today. Doing a lot of studying, doing a lot of practice tests, a lot of reviewing of material. Seems to be going okay. I'm passing all the practice tests, but it's just I'm just barely passing. I think last year I missed a whole section that I wasn't practicing with, and let's just say I passed with like 82%. You have to have 80% to pass. I think I had 82%. So let's just say it was very close. By the way, the puppy, our puppy, is almost 12 months old now. I think in a couple days. Yeah, two more days, I think it'll be 12 months old. He is doing very well. He got back from school, and he is went to obedience training for 2 weeks. Came back. He is. I just want to say he's just an awesome dog. He really. I mean, still a puppy. Still got a lot of energy. Still a wackadoodle. But he is doing. He will heel. He will. When I stop, he will sit. When I take off, he'll. Even outside, I've been working with him outside now. They work with him mostly inside, but even with just some distractions now, I've been working with him outside now since he's been back, and he gets a little bit distracted. He watches birds, likes to chase birds and squirrels and any leaf that blows around. He will go to place. He's got a little raised bed thing he jumps on. He will go to crate. Sometimes he gets those confused. You say crate, and he goes to place. He gets confused with those sometimes. When you call him, he will come to you, pretty solid on that one. And he runs up, and then he's supposed to sit in front of you. And he does that pretty good. He ran past me the other day. But the key to doing that properly is to have something in your hand. So you call him in, he comes to you, and then I can work with him on it. I have a 20-foot lead that I put him on, and I can usually what I'll do is I'll have him heel with me for a little while, stop a couple times, sit, just keep on going. Then I'll have him sit, and then I have him lay down, which was just a down command. He'll lay down, and then I'll walk away from him, usually with the lead, but sometimes. But the other, this morning I did it without the lead. I just let the lead drop and walked off about 30 feet. Then I call him to me, and I have him come to me. Of course, now I have a treat in my hand, so as I'm doing the call signal, I call him in, and then as he comes towards me, I have my hand down, and as he approaches me, I start to raise my hand so that it kind of brings his head up. He sits down right in front of me and give him the treat, and he's done. And he's just doing such an awesome job with that. He'll go to place and stay there. He wants to get off his place, Matt, a little bit, but he does go to his place quite often when he just wants to relax. He'll just go there and just wants to relax. When he knows he's kind of being out of control, but he still gets that. He wants to chase the cats. He wants to kind of tease the other dog a little bit, so that some of those things are just going to get some of his energy out. So I went for a little walk this morning. I went for a longer walk after I took the car over for the tire issue. And there's my day. That's what's going on with the dog. So we're going to go for a longer walk today with a backpack on. That'll get his energy level out a little bit more. But overall, he's doing really well. He's a very smart dog. I'm almost too smart. He learns very quickly. And if you let him get away with something, he learns that very, he learns that he can get away with it very quickly, which is a problem, much like some children. So we have, that's the dog report. We have a few things to talk about today. One of the main things in the news right now is the tariffs and the stock market, those two things. The left, they have lost their living minds. And all they know is to double down on Donald Trump is bad. He's bad for the economy. He's a tyrant. He's a dictator. Some of the rhetoric that's out there right now in some of these rallies is just absolutely horrible. It's the weirdest stuff I've ever heard, and they're just doubling down on it. And it is exactly what people are just sick and tired of. And yet they just have no clue. Now, I think there are some in the Democrat Party, not the Democratic Party. Everybody keeps calling it that. They've been duped. I'm telling you. They're successful. They got it done. They were able to get everybody talking about the Democratic Party. The Democrat Party, the establishment Democrats, I think the more traditional Democrats, are, I think, somewhat worried about this monster they've created, this whole woke thing that they've created. And they don't know what to do with it, because it looked like Chuck Schumer, he was going to go on a book tour. All of a sudden, the woke mob started turning on him. One of the things that the leftists, their base, their party base, is upset with the Democrats right now, their approval rating is like 21% now. It is down. The Democrat Party's approval rating is like 21%. And all they're doing is screaming about trying to get Donald Trump's. Chuck Schumer came out a couple weeks ago and said, "We're working hard now. We're mobilizing. We have to get his poll numbers down." Now, let's talk about this today, because two things are going on here. You have establishment politicians, regular politicians, who only look at politics and only look at policy as an election cycle issue. Everything is about the election cycle. That runs their entire career. It runs everything about them. That's all they can think about, is the political implications for the party and for their particular career in that party. That's all they care about. It's all about that political cycle, because they don't want to leave. Once they get in there, they just like AOC. She got in there. She couldn't afford to have an apartment. She couldn't afford to have a car. She couldn't afford anything. She was talking about, we need to have some kind of stipend for congressional people. We can't afford these rents and stuff out here. You don't hear her talking about that anymore, do you? Because all of a sudden, her net worth is like over $1 million. I don't know how that happens when you're making $170,000. You start as a bartender and you become a congressional representative at $170,000 a year. And a few years later, you're worth over $1 million. Somebody explain that to me. I do understand what's going on, but it'd be nice to be able to do that. These people who are worth millions, tens of millions. Well, I just make good investments. Yeah, whatever. No, that's not true. One dealer complained about how much it costs to be a representative, because they have to have a lot of them will say, well, I have to have a house here, and I have to have a house in my district where I live. I have that house, and I have to have a place to stay when I'm here. And of course, that I think it was it Kevin? What's his name? The last Speaker of the House. McCarthy, whatever his name was. He's renting a house, renting an apartment with Luntz, who is the leftist guy who does all the polls. CNN has him on all the time. He's been warning the Democrat Party about what's going on with the Democrat Party and saying what's going on. So Chuck Schumer comes out, and he kind of lets the cat out of the bag here. The bag slip off the cat. And he starts talking about this, how they're going to go after him. They're mobilizing. They're going to go after him. They're going to do all these things. They got all these AstroTurf people. They're bussing around doing all these rallies. People are like, what's with the rally thing? What's that all about? Well, they're going to kick 70 million people off of Social Security. Who's saying that? Where are you coming up with this baloney? It's not going to happen. It's just they're trying to save Social Security. Social Security will not be able. There's so much fraud and corruption and abuse in underneath the Social Security system. It can't survive. Wouldn't you like to know that it's going to be able to maintain itself and keep going? If you cut out all these billions of dollars that are being spent places they shouldn't be, like hundreds of billions of dollars. It's not taking away people's checks that we have to worry about. It's the checks that are going places that shouldn't be going places. There's plenty of money to go around. It's just they just waste it, blow it, send it all over the place. And you got these knuckleheads that are out there. I got some audio to play. We'll play some audio later. But I want to talk about the tariffs because the main thing is the tariffs are going to tear us apart. They're tariffing us. Tariffs. Even the supposed conservative up in Canada, who I had some respect for until I heard what he's saying about this tariff thing. It was an eye opener yesterday when I started looking into this guy a little bit more. Realizing that the guy, he's running for office now since Trudeau's stepping out. There's the liberal and there's the conservative guy. Sidney Pierre or something, I don't know, whatever it is. They're both opposing the tariffs and talking about how they're going to fight back. Now, you have to understand, the GDP of Canada is less than the state of Texas. Less than the state. This is why Donald Trump says that Canada should just become one of our states. They'd be better off. This is not a wacky idea, actually. They probably should do that. Of course, the leaders would never allow that because then they would lose all their leadership. I don't think we want them, frankly. I think we would take on a group of people that, first of all, we would not have anything to do with this whole, you got to put French in bigger letters and speak French. You have to learn French in school. That whole thing. You get up into Montreal, into that province. It's just the rules up there are just ridiculous, and we would that would never work for us, and we're not going to allow it. Joy Reid recently was, after she got fired, she was talking about how the last time we took on Canada, they burned down our White House. They burned it down. We can't compete against Canada. We'll clean our clocks. What? What is wrong with these people? The only way that this happens, they're not going to. They would never, concede. We would have to go to war with them, and we would lose. Really? First of all, is that all you think about is war all the time? There's more than one way of doing it, And war is what you first, that's just what you go to. Wait, we have to be at war. Well, we're not going to go to war with Canada, okay? We're not going to start invading Canada. It's not going to happen. Nobody's going to do that. Trump's not advocating that. But if we did, let's just put the straw man out there for a moment, shall we? If we went to war with Canada, what do you think would happen? Most of their population is not armed anymore, first of all. Secondly, they have how many aircraft carriers? Zero. Tanks? I think the state of Texas has more tanks. The idea, their Air Force, have you seen their Air Force? They've been neutral in almost all the wars. You know why? Because they can sit there. They're unreachable, really. They're untouchable, basically. And because they're our neighbors and they depend on us living in our shadow to defend them, because we know that we're going to allow anybody to attack Canada. I don't even know if are they even a part of NATO. I don't know if they are or not. Probably aren't. What do they have to offer? Of course, nobody, for that matter, who does anybody else? I don't like NATO to begin with. But anyway, the whole thing. It's just ridiculous, and what they were saying. It's just what she's saying is just ridiculous. Oh, Canada's going to clean her clock. Yeah. So they had a I think it was a record loss of 33,000 jobs. Now keep in mind their population. If you look at it per capita and not the percentage wise as far as their that would be like us losing 300,000 jobs in a month. They lost 33,000 jobs last month. We gained almost a quarter million jobs, 230,000, I think it was. What is it? That was a population like 10 million, something like that. Let me see it. I can look it up real quick. What is Canada? Here we go. We'll just go with this. See what it says for us here. 41 million people. There's 41 million people there. That's a lot more than I thought. However, it's still, yeah, the math works out. Canada ranks 37th in the world by population, comprising about 0.5% of the global total. So there you go. Yeah, it's four people. Density in Canada is four people per kilometer, square kilometer. 11 people per mile. Yeah, this is a... Wow. There's a breakdown of all the ages and stuff. It's kind of interesting. The 40 million people. 40 million people. We have 300 million. They're over 300 million here. 40 million, 300 million. Do the math on that. So there's that stuff. There's just all the crazy, wacky stuff that the left keeps saying is just out of control. It's ridiculous. So now this whole thing of the tariffs. I thought Trump went through brilliantly. There's a lady who did a – boy, I wish I could pull this up. Hopefully I'll be able to pull this up for tomorrow morning show because I'd like to do some audio for tomorrow. I do have a few audio things today. But this one gal, I don't know what her name is, but she's been on fire with some stats and some stuff that's going on. She was the one that I played the audio about the Democrat Party is the party of the rich that Donald Trump is fighting for, the working class, the middle class, and people are recognizing that. And it's not about the stock market. It's not most sure our 401ks, all that stuff. Yeah, okay. So our 401k drops down. Most people are realizing now, and this is. I want to play this audio because it's. I can't think it's very telling of what the 401k thing is about. Now this is, but you know, before I get into all this, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about it at the end. There's some more spiritual stuff I want to talk about at the end. I usually do that at the end. Letitia James came out and made a speech the other day, and she quoted some things, and she misquoted scripture, and it was I guess she claims to be a believer. I don't know. She's saying some things that was very weird to hear that come out of her mouth for someone who's been so blatantly. Yeah, this is anyway. But this guy, let's see, this is one. Oh, that's her right there. So let's play this. This is pretty good. This is a guy who was, well, first of all, the stock market's down right now. So we want to we'll talk about this a little bit. People get frustrated. I made a mistake a while back. I really blew it in terms of understanding the market. I was concerned the stock market was going to crash and never come back. I just thought people were going to lose everything. This is the end of the world. I kind of bought into that whole idea, and I felt very unsure. I didn't know what was going to happen, and thought we need to put our we parked all of our funds. And I had my my wife had a pretty sizable 401k, and we just wanted to park. Let's just park our funds in cash. Basically put it into a money market type thing. It wasn't really a place to do much with it. Well, so the market just dropped through the floor. And, of course, timing was terrible. It was pretty much reached the bottom by the time we got things done. Of course, the stock market took off again. By the time we bought back in, we lost, a lot of value. Didn't get it back. Should have just left it sit. I'd have been better off leaving it sit. The best thing you can do in times like this is to continue to invest. If you're investing $500 a month or $1,000 a month or whatever your percentage of your wages or whatever it is you're doing, I'm not a financial counselor. I'm also not a doctor or a lawyer, but I'm just giving some of my opinions on things. What you do with it is your own business. Certainly not telling you what to do. So we have there's a moment in time here where you, where the stock market goes down. And when you continue to put money in during that time, you're buying more for, you're getting more for your money. If stocks are down, then you're buying, it's basically buying things at a discount. It's everything's on sale. And when things go back up to their normal rates again and continue to increase, now you have more that's going up. So it's, you're leveling your own playing field. And if you do the math on this, and in theory, that's how it should work. Now, there are some things that might crash and can and continue to go down and go bankrupt. That's, you know, that's just the, that's the way it happens. But basically, this one guy, in this, again, this gal that I was talking about the other day, that was talking about the Democrats being the party of the rich. She had a breakdown of all the, like, 50% of the stock market is controlled by a certain percentage of the people, and it's basically it's a rich man's game. A lot of rich, very rich individuals, the top, you know, 5% or whatever, 7%, whatever it is, I think hold 86% of the wealth, or 88%, whatever it is. And basically 12% is held by the working class folks. And basically, Donald Trump has declared war on the stock market, and because we've been living in a bubble. Most of the stock market is based on speculation and bubble. It is not based on actual value of anything. So this major correction that's happening right now is where the left is just, their minds are just, they want to make anything they can do to get the approval rating of Donald Trump, which is up, I think it's up to like 51% now or something ridiculous of voters in general. His approval rating is like 51%. Of course, the base all in. All the time, all the while, we're hearing from some of these Democrat representatives that Republicans are coming to them and telling them they have buyer's remorse. They hate the fact that they voted for this guy and they wish they could take their vote back. Now, keep in mind, it only takes one person to walk into an office or to send a letter to a congressman to say that they regret voting for Donald Trump. Or, you know, maybe there's two or three, which, you know, may not have even been Republicans to begin with. Because there were some Democrats that voted for Donald Trump. So I'm sure they're coming in and saying, I regret voting for the guy. And they're using that to plaster all over media and everywhere. I have constituents coming into my office telling me that they regret voting for Donald Trump. It's buyer's remorse. His popularity is going down. All the while, all the polls are telling us just the opposite. They're trying to convince us, because again, they just try to, if they repeat a lie long enough, that it'll just become so. That's what they're doing here. They're continue to do this kind of stuff all the time. So what we have is this ridiculous attempt on the left to just to continue to drive Donald Trump's poll numbers down. They think that if they can get his poll numbers down, his disapproval rating to get up there somewhere, that then they can impeach him. Then they can throw in the impeachment words and they can be on the top of this thing and they can get this guy to, yeah, this is going to go great. I just think that they are continuing to bark up the wrong tree here. They're a rudderless ship right now. They have nobody at the helm. And the people they're talking about putting at the helm, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Sandy Cortez, AOC, is a complete and utter bumbling knucklehead. You have to understand, I'd like to see the Democrat Party fail, but I just have a remnant of them around so that they can kind of keep them corralled. By the way, my puppy, I forgot to mention this, he's at my feet right now, laying there just being the best little boy in the world. He's just not making any noises, not chewing on anything. He's just taking a little nap. Decided he's just going to settle down. He's just, I got a leash on him, but I'm not even holding it. He's just laying there. It's all a good thing. And so we have this going on with the left. So their big push, their goal is to get the Donald Trump numbers, the approval numbers down, to get the disapproval numbers up. And that's they're running on. Their only vision right now is Donald Trump bad. They have no vision for the country. They have no vision for anything. It's just we need to take power away from this guy. He's a dictator. He's a tyrant. He's a whatever he is. And he's also a puppet at the same time. Not only is he a dictator and a fascist, he's not really a dictator because he's got some other guy that's dictating to him what to do. This Elon Musk guy is his puppet. You know, that's what they're claiming. So we have a stock market that, because of the tariffs. Now the tariffs, they're already working very well. In fact, there's a couple of countries that have actually said, okay, we're dropping all of our tariffs. See, the problem is all these other countries have had tariffs on us for a long time. Now what they're trying to do, and the reason it's going to create a temporary correction that needs to happen. I'm not an economist, but I'm here to tell you, this is my opinion of what the tariffs are going to do. Now, this other guy, I'm going to play this one audio of a guy that has a different take on it. But the biggest thing on the tariffs is how it is actually a leveling field. And what's going to end up happening is, costs are going to go up. There are people who have suppliers that are overseas. They're not buying American because they can buy things overseas cheaper. So when the tariff comes in, the price is, they're going to have to pay more, which means they're going to have to, two things happen here. It's very good. I listened to a guy the other day, and I totally agree with everything he was saying, because I owned a company where I had to buy stuff, I had to buy products from overseas, I had to buy stuff from out of the country for my supplier. So I get this. And what you do is when this tariff thing comes in, you go to your supplier and you say, hey, we're not going to be able to buy stuff from you with this tariff unless you can kind of cut your price down. We'll keep buying from you if we can get this down to like a 10% increase in price. We can eat some of it, if you eat some of it. So now you're putting pressure on the other company. And the problem is they're not going to sell as many because people aren't going to buy as many because the price is going to be higher. They can't afford to ship them over here and sell them as cheap as they were because they have slave labor over there or very low wages. And we've been taking advantage of that. Well, it's all going to change. Now, this is, you hear the left all the time talking about the disparity. America is the great consumer, and we're buying things from all these other companies that are basically paying these poor people for slave labor, and we're an evil country because we're doing that. Not anymore. We're basically saying, you know what? You're going to do that. You're going to come over here and try to flood our market with cheap stuff. We're going to make that stuff more expensive, and guess what? We're going to build it right here in this country where we have labor laws. And you either straighten up, fly right, take off. And here's the problem. They have tariffs on us. They started this whole thing. The entire world basically has been putting tariffs on us. And we've been piggy banking everything. They build products and send them over here. But we don't tariff them. At least not to the extent that they tariff our products. So that's what's been happening. And all Trump's saying is, okay, they put a 30% tariff on us. We're going to put a 15% on theirs. It's not even, in some cases, not even half what their tariff is. And the Democrats are just going nuts about this whole thing. Of course, this is causing the stock market to take a tumble. I call it a correction. This is not going to last. This little stock market thing is not going to last long because there's over, I think is it $5 trillion now? It's over a trillion. I know it's like last I heard it was $1.5 trillion has been committed to be invested into this country by foreign entities. People who are saying, you know what, rather than trying to build it over here, ship it over there and pay the tariff, we're just going to create a plant in the U.S. It's already happening. It's happening right here in the state of Indiana. Some companies, they're expanding now to build something here in Indiana because the It's going to cost them less to do it here with our labor, our jobs, employing our people, which is what it takes to get the market back, to get the middle class back. You've got to have jobs. Good paying jobs. So people will buy American products because they're going to cost the same as the Chinese stuff or the whatever country it is, fill in the blank, Vietnamese, whatever it is. They're going to start buying American now. And those jobs stay here. They're more secure. We make more money. It is a flooded with a market of it is basic wealth 101. Now, there are some other takes on this whole tariff thing. I just want to, if I can pull this up, I think this is the one. Yeah, this is probably the one. Yeah, this is the one. Let's go see if we can go from the beginning here. This is courtesy of liberal hive mind. He does a pretty good job with this stuff.
This video, ironically.
Trump is crashing the stock market by 20% this month, but he's doing it on purpose. And this is why Warren Buffett just said Trump is making the best economic moves he's seen in over 50 years. Now, here's the secret game he's playing, and it could make you rich. So why is he doing this? To push cash into treasuries, which forces the Fed to slash interest rates in May, and those lower rates give the Fed the ability to refinance trillions of debt very inexpensively. It also weakens the dollar and drops mortgage rates. Now, it's a wild chess move, but it's working. Now, you're probably wondering, what about his tariffs? Well, I'll tell you, it's a genius play. It actually forces companies to build here to dodge them. It also forces farmers to sell more of their products here in the U.S. to bring grocery prices way down. We've already seen this with eggs. Now, remember, 94% of all stocks are owned only by 8% of Americans. 8%. So Trump, he's taking from the rich short term and handing it to the middle class through lower prices.
So while the Democrats.
So there you go. That is one man's take on this whole thing. Ilhan Omar made a speech recently that I might play that tomorrow too. There's some things about her voice that the stuff she says is just out. She's insane. She's a lunatic. But you can't listen to the content. But I do want to play some things about her voice and her vocal tonal qualities that kind of expose who she actually is. And I think it comes from the language that she learned. It comes from her background, but it comes from her beliefs, basically. But I want to point out some things in her vocal speech that kind of shows who she is and what's in her heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I think it's interesting sometimes. Being a vocal guy, understanding people who, you know, yeah, the way they talk. It's interesting. So here's this next one. It's not that one. It's this one right here. Yeah, this is this guy. This was courtesy of Mark Dice. He has a little thing he does. He's got this guy. I don't know who this guy is. He looks like a fit, older George Soros, but it's not George Soros. It's a guy that he just kind of looks like him, but he's quite obviously not him. He doesn't have the German accent and all this stuff. But it's interesting what this guy says here about investing. So it goes back to what I was talking about earlier about the stock market.
The stock market suddenly went into an unexpected broad market decline of greater than 25% and still heading south. What would you tell us to help us stay the course?
Well, the first thing I'd say was, who the heck knows whether it's still heading south? It may have stopped going down at 25%, and a lot of them do stop in the 20-25% range. But, you know, it's an opportunity to buy more, and certainly, you know, there are a lot of funny ways of, it's not very hard to give advice on these kind of things. But the one piece of advice I would categorically give to everybody, for God's sake, don't stop a program of regular investing because the market goes down. You're killing the whole value of dollar cost averaging. And it may go down for a few more years. Who really knows? But so much the better when you're putting money in every month, because it will come back. I think we're in a little dangerous territory now, as I tell people. But and the 25% drop, 35% drop is easily possible. It's always possible just because markets are markets. So I think the questioner is right to say, you know, what should I do? And I guess the answer generally is don't do something, just stand there.
What he means is.
Yeah, that was Mark Dice there at the end. The interesting stuff he's talking about. Now, I was talking about the other guy that was talking about the, you know, Trump is intentionally crashing the stock market because he's forcing money into cash bonds, which is if that's actually what's happening, it's brilliant. It really is a wild chess move, as he said. It's just, it's an amazing thing if it's actually working. I think it's going to work. It definitely is going to happen. I don't think Trump is the only one behind this. Now, I think Trump understands money. He understands how money moves around. He understands banking. He understands all this stuff. There's a video of him circulating around when he was on the Oprah Winfrey show back when he was one, you know, everybody loved him. And he was back when he was a Democrat. And he was basically saying the same thing about tariffs. This was back, I think it was over 25 years ago. I think it was back in the late 90s. He was being interviewed, and he was talking about tariffs and how we're getting beaten up as a country because we're taking a beating from all the trade deficit stuff going on. And it was, so yeah, it was very, very interesting, in my opinion, how it all worked out. But he, of course, now, and go back 30 years, you'll see Nancy Pelosi advocating for this disparity in our tariff war, tariff differences, the trade deficit. Chuck Schumer made a speech about it as well. Just all these Democrats out there, even Obama came out and talked about the trade deficit and how things were so imbalanced. And now we talk about actually doing something about it, and they freak out and say it's going to crash the economy. We're all going to be poor. We're going to be poor houses. That's not the case at all. This is a real correction, and it is a real vision for the nation. This is a long term thing. And here's what I'm going to get at. What's important to realize is most politicians don't see things in the long term. For them, long term is 2 years because they're trying to get to the next election cycle. It's all about they have to look good by the next election cycle. Most of what they will do, and if you can look back at every president since Carter, at least, in the first 6 months of their term, it can be a 4-year term, 2-year term, whatever it is, whether you're a representative in the House or whether you're in the Senate or whatever it is, or you're president or whatever. The first 6 months of their term, they typically will do all the radical stuff that they need to do. Look at when Obamacare passed, the Affordable Care Act, as it's spoken of. That was something that, you know, it passed right at the beginning of I think it was his last term. He had the House and the Senate again, I think, I believe, right? In 20, was it 2012, the 2020 or 2014 midterms, I think that's when they took back the House and the Senate. I believe, I can't remember for sure. And it was right after that they put the whole thing into play, the Affordable Care Act. And it was during that. So their policies are basically run by the election cycle. They know what's palpable for the American people and how to win elections. So they can't do so much. They can't do certain things because it will ruin the possibility of them getting reelected or the party losing the House or the Senate. There have been very few times that they've fallen on their sword on that. Or they'll just do something out of principle, just for the sake of getting it done, getting it through. So that's the difference here between them and normal politicians and Donald Trump. This is why we have a non-establishment person in there, because he doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about the election cycle. Now he wants to see us win the House. And of course, that's going to be the problem right now is the House and the Senate. have to go along with him. And if they don't, I think he's trying to also work with this whole thing as well, knowing that the election cycle has to get this stuff done in 6 months. Now he's only been there 3 months, has he? January 20th. 3 months will be 20th of this month. 3 months. And all this stuff's rapidly changing. So if he can get this stuff done by July and August, as you start to go into the primary season for the following, for the midterms for, it's going to be 2026, midterm elections in 2026. So he's got to get all this stuff done, get everything through so that people aren't worried about their reelection possibilities. Because, the House and the Senate have to come out the word. For all he cares, he just wants to get everything passed in the next 2 years. But he's really only got 6 months or eight, maybe seven or eight, possibly. Because he's got to be able to keep what looks unpopular or the pain that people are going to go through for a few months while this correction happens. But as these investments start coming into the country, it starts with construction, because what ends up happening is, you get somebody comes in and says, okay, we're going to put $1 trillion and we're going to put $100 billion into a plant here in the United States you don't start right off hiring people to do your products. You start with the construction part of it. You purchase property, you lease property, you build buildings, you build factories, you build the facilities you need, the equipment that you need. You start bringing all that in, the shipping, all the transport, the construction, all that stuff starts to happen. Raw materials. So already you are, and those are transient workers, so they're not going to be employed by the company once it's built, once the infrastructure is built, but they're the ones who build the infrastructure. So that right there starts off with the economy. So that's the kind of the foundation, literally building the foundation is the foundation of that part of the economy. And then by the time it swings around and you start hiring people to actually work in the factory and start producing products, it might take a year. It might take 2 years. I've been watching this project that's out on, it's called State Road 2. It's just west of South Bend. It's out on this highway. Massive, massive project that's going on both sides of the highway. I believe it, and it's been going up just in the last 6 months, I think, or so, less than a year, that it's, there's already buildings up. They're like laying foundation for other buildings. They got all this parking area and driveways going through. It's just a massive operation. They got excavators out there, probably 30 or 40 excavators at least out there, and bulldozers, dump trucks, the whole thing, just constantly day in, day out, doing all this stuff on both sides of the highway. I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but some kind of massive plant facility, something's going on there. It's more than, I thought at first it was going to be like an Amazon depot. It is more than that. It's there's something much more, much greater than that going on there. So it's, because it's not just a warehouse. But I have no idea what it is. I've not been able to figure out what's going on there. Massive investment happening there. That's the kind of thing that's going to happen all over the country. You're going to see just construction industry is going to boom. It's just going to be a massive flash of influx infrastructure funds coming in that cost the government basically nothing. In fact, it's going to be a boon to their income, because it's, which means it's also this opportunity possibility for the taxes, the tax structure to be readjusted, and people don't want to pay as much income tax, federal income tax, which is why we can adjust it down to, no tax on Social Security, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime. Which is all things that the Democrats are voting against right now, because it's Trump's idea. That's the only reason. You would think they'd be going, oh yes, we're all for the working man too. This is awesome. Let's do this. They won't do. They won't say. They're just against it because it's Trump's idea. This is going to cause budget shortfalls. This is just for the rich people. This is for the rich people. He's just helping out his billionaire friends. That's all we hear. Oh, he's just enriching his billionaire friends. He's going to gut Social Security, and gut USAID just so he can enrich his billionaire friends. How exactly does that happen? How does that work exactly? Show us some charts here on how that money transfers over to his billionaire friends. A lot of these protesters that are out there doing all these rallies and are protesting in the streets, they all have the same signs, by the way. They're given these free signs. Of course, they're also given food, and they're given they get paid for being out there too. They don't talk about that much, but they also give them a sheet of paper on how to answer questions. Somebody asks you this question about this, you just give them this information, because it's been very embarrassing for them when somebody says, "Well, what do you think about this?" Well, this is, oh, he's a whatever, or this is what that's going to do. Okay, well, how do you figure that? Can you explain what you think about that? Well, I don't know. I don't really have any details. I don't know. That's just all I know. They have no understanding, no idea. And it's just, it's one of those weird things that they're up to. So it's just, I don't know. I just think it's crazy. Let's see. I could, NVIDIA is down. You know, the NVIDIA is down to the point where I should buy about 100 of those. That's a possibility. It's interesting. Yeah, I want to buy into that a little bit. So there you go. Everything's down right now. It's just a good time to buy anything. Just buy it all. Buy everything. I'm going to buy the entire stock market today. So we have that kind of stuff going on. This last thing I want to talk about, and I guess my theory is, I think that the country is being set up now for, it keeps being called the golden age. It keeps being called the booming economy, the boom of the American, the second coming, so to speak, of the American dream. I think that's what we're seeing. I think that's what we're about to see unfold. Now, I was curious as to why the bankers, why the Federal Reserve was allowing some of this stuff, all the stuff that's going on. And it actually does benefit what's happening with these tariffs and everything that's happening. They're sitting back going, you know what, this is probably going to work. This whole thing with the stock market is probably going to actually help the Federal Reserve in terms of getting, it's not going to hurt them, let's put it that way. Because of the cash bonds, everything that's going to happen through this whole process, it is going to set this nation up. We are setting this nation up for success. That's all I can say. If all of us step up and start working, I think that's the biggest problem. There are several jobs, there are several businesses right now that I can think of. I was just thinking of this on the way home. I was driving home the other day, and I was thinking, there's so many businesses, some businesses that I have started in the past, service businesses, things that I was willing to do because I was desperate, I was hungry, stuff that I was willing to do, and I would work very labor intensive type work, a lot of elbow grease involved. Where do you find those kinds of workers now? It's those kind of workers are hard to find, especially when you're not working for yourself. When you're working for yourself, you're willing to work a lot harder. When you're working for someone else, it not so much. People don't do that. People aren't as motivated. If they were that motivated, they'd be working for themselves. But there are some things that I think, there's some couple businesses that I'm thinking, if I could find the workers, I would start something. I would start that again. I don't want to be the guy. I don't want to be the one that's doing all the stuff. I'm too old for that now. But there are some young critters out there that probably would have the ambition and the drive and the energy to do it. And I know that would be successful. It's just a matter of getting it done. But so I think that's where the American people have to step up. We have to step up as a nation. People have to step up and be willing to work, want to work. I think after COVID, I think everybody was kind of, it was really a great theft of our motivation as a nation, as a populace, as a culture. And I think that if we can get that drive back, that incentive back. And I think with no tax on tips, with no tax on overtime, I think we may be able to pull that off, because we're going to see a labor market that's willing to work, because they're going to be able to keep what they earn. That's why we go to work, by the way, folks. Most people go to work to make money. I was on an American flight the other day, and of course the first thing that they always say, we're here for one reason. you. Well, they have this little, they have these little recorded announcements that come across the bigger plane. You know, of course, I'm sitting back there. And of course, they, every time I hear that, every time I'm on a flight and I hear something like that, they say, "We're here for one reason." And I want to say, I want to jump in real quick and say, "Money," because that's what we're here for, folks. It's, we are here to earn. We're here to be prosperous. We're here to. There's some people out there just okay. They have such a drive to motivate and move people around the country, I guess, that they just want to, they would go out and do it for free, I guess. I don't know. Maybe there are those people who would do it. No, you've got to make a living at this. You've got to make some money. You need to be properly compensated for what you're giving up of your life here to give up. I've always told people I would do my job for free. It's all the other, like this week with all this training I have to go through. That's what they're paying me for. They're really paying me, my entire year's salary is based on this week because I pretty much the whole thing is that's all I don't want to, that's where I'm making my money. Everything else I do for the year is for free, but they have to pay me for that. There you go. So don't tell the company because they'd only have me work this week. But they didn't pay me for all that. I don't know what I'm saying there. Here is Letitia James. Let's just change. I only have a few minutes left. Let's hear what Letitia James has to say about just how stupid she is. Let me pull this back. Try to do this. Here we go. This is Letitia James. Yeah, let's go back.
The number includes a number of categories. So when they talk about DEI, let them know that they're not only coming after us, but they're coming after all of us. And we've got to stand together, stand in community, stand with this great organization under the leadership of our civil rights leader, Reverend Al Sharpton, who has been a who has been a light.
She keeps hitting the microphone, which is driving me nuts. Now, she's talking about Al Sharpton. He's a great Al Sharpton, our great leader, Al Sharpton. Now, I want you to hear what she says here in a little bit. She says some things. She misquotes scripture, and it's interesting that she does this because, what do you think about this? I'll just go with this.
A bright and shining light in the darkness, bright, but I don't know about you. It's that stone of hope that inspires me each and every day. And
stone of
listen,
hope.
Faith and fear can never share the same space. And so I'm covered by the blood. And I'm not afraid of Donald Trump. You can come after me, but no enemy, nothing formed against me will perish.
Did you catch that? Nothing formed against me will perish. The actual scripture says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Nothing formed against me will perish. In other words, it's not going to die. Everything formed against me is going to die, not going to die. It's going to... It's the opposite. Sometimes these kinds of slips say more about what's really going on. Now, I don't know whose blood she's covered by, because there is literally blood on this lady's hands. She's a prosecutor. She's an attorney general. And she has literally changed laws that have let people off the hook. And those same people have gone off to commit murder. She has done those kinds of things. Maybe that's the blood she's talking about. She's covered in the blood. And weapons that are formed against her, or things that are formed against her, apparently are going to prosper. Just saying. I don't know. I think that's what she's trying to say there. Let's listen on.
Nothing formed against me. Nothing formed against me. Nothing formed against me.
When people go into the repeating thing, that means that they have nothing else to say. That's basically what they're saying is, I don't know, I'm just going to keep repeating this. I'm just, because that's what rallies, the people are rallying up, they're clapping, so I'm just going to keep saying it. Even though the quote that I said is wrong, I'm going to keep repeating it, keep banging my head against the door, against the wall, whatever it is. So that's where we are with all the other stuff. Now, I'm sorry that this show took, you know, an hour to get through. But I think it's critical, I think, that we understand all the rhetoric that's going on, all the rallies that are going on, the things that are being said, and what's happening here. This AstroTurf movement, the real legitimate issues that are out there are being focused on and faced and dealt with. And I think the American people see that, but I think it's hard for them to see. I think there's so much clutter and so much rhetoric. Even, I think it was Jake Tapper the other day. I think that's who it was. Was somebody confronted him and said, well, you know, your party and the Democrat Party is this and that. He goes, I'm not on either side. I'm not a party. I'm not in either party. Really? So you weren't a part of covering up Joe Biden's mental decline. When you started confronting somebody else, when they were saying something about it, you were started to say, oh, you're not qualified to say anything about his mental decline. It was Anna Paulina Luna. But, I mean, there's some, you know, and the Republican Party right now is not necessarily all unified either. There's some dissent in some things, and there's some arguments and some disagreements. I'd rather see that because we're moving forward with something rather than just lockstep, everybody's together and everybody's in unison and they're going to go down together, because that's what's happening with the left, with the Democrat Party right now. They are lockstep, holding on to the anchor, going to the bottom of the sea. And I think that's where I think they're going. And so it's interesting to see this whole thing. The problem is, again, these people are ruthless, and the end justifies the means. What lengths will they go to? There's people who are still on the street willing to just say to any kind of reporter or anybody that asks them, I think Donald Trump should die. They're saying those things out loud on recording to people with cameras and microphones. Elon Musk isn't even from this country. He's South African. He's not even an American citizen. Oh, yes, he is an American citizen, actually. And if he wasn't, he probably already paid for one of those $5 million cards. By the way, they've sold like 1,000 of those or something. We're just getting started with this stuff. So, I say, have a great day. Because we're going to be looking at some more audio tomorrow. Might be a show. I might have time to actually do a show from the worldwide headquarters tomorrow. I do have to be on a flight tomorrow at noon out of my hometown here, so I don't have to drive quite as far. But yeah, it will be it'd be an early show if I have one. That's just a whole lot of other things going on. I've got, of course, the puppies I have to deal with, but that's a small part of what's happening. So we have just a lot of things to look forward to, I think, in the days ahead, what's happening. We'll see what happens. It's just going to be an interesting week, I think, in terms of politics and finances and everything else that's going on with the stock market and everything else. Folks, God bless. Hang in there. Be at peace. Take care. See ya.